Alright, so this week we're going to be doing the final of the four characteristics through which Moshe's Nevuah was differentiated from everyone else's. Next week, well, next week I'm having a lecture, but the week after, the next time we meet, we might do one more week about this principle, about one thing which the Rambam did not say here, which he says elsewhere. We'll decide sometime over the next couple of weeks we're going to do that. But this week, talking about the last of the four attributes of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, which differentiated him from the rest of them. Now, as we've been pointing out, that these four things are all really a result, a logical outcome of the same point, which was the Madrega, the personal nature and character of Moshe Rabbeinu. So there's a lot of similarity between the four of them this week. So it's going to be, you know, also somewhat overlapping with things we've discussed before, but we're going to try and identify one particular facet which is unique to this particular point. So we'll read what the Rambam says, and then before we go further, just a little introduction to the flow of today's discussion is going to be. So the fourth one, the Hahevdel HaRevi, the fourth distinction, Shekol HaNeviim Lo Yavoum HaChazon Biritzonam Ela Biratzon Hashem, that all of the Neviim, all other prophets, their vision that they got did not come when they wanted, it came when Hashem wanted. The Yesh Sheyishaer HaNavi Kama Shanim Velo Yavoehu HaChazon. And there could be a Navi who could wait several years without ever having without a vision coming. And the next thing, the liner skipped, the Rambam says it might even never come. Ukvar ra'inu mehem misha hiskonin alidei simchas alev v'zikuch hamachshava kemosha asa elisha ba'amro v'atak yechuli menagin az balo chazon. We've seen that there are Nevi'im who they would prepare themselves for Nevuah with simchas halev. They would make themselves, they would bring themselves into a proper state of mind, and then the nevuah would come. The ein zehachrechi sheis navi kolzman sheis konin, but it was not necessarily true that whenever they prepared themselves they would have the nevuah. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu kolzman sheyirtze amar imdu v'ashma ma yitzave Hashem lechem. But Moshe Rabbeinu, anytime he wanted, he said, "Imdu v'ashma ma yitzave Hashem lachem." He said, "You stay here and wait, and I will make heard. I will let you know what Hashem says. You can't do that if you don't know. You know, you can't say wait here if you know I might be back several years from now." So Moshe Rabbeinu, as soon as he wanted to communicate with Hashem, so he was able to on command receive, or at will, he was able to receive nevuah, to enter into that prophetic state. That was the fourth distinction of the Nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu. So now there are really two aspects to this that I want to discuss. Both of them are somewhat hinted to in the words, the terms that the Rambam uses, but I just want to bring them out individually, very clearly. The two aspects. Now the first aspect of this is really something which, according to everything we've been discussing the past several weeks, should really not be such a surprise, should not be such a chiddush. And that is the point that Moshe Rabbeinu did not need to prepare for his Nevuah. He was, so to speak, he was already there. The other Nevi'im, they couldn't prophesize at any moment. The prophecy had to come to them. I mean, they had to prepare for prophecy. And Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't have to prepare. He was always ready for prophecy. And I saw in a certain sefer that he says that really is the point of this chiddush about Moshe Rabbeinu. But I actually think that we'll see less unique or the less fascinating point about this idea. But the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka, in Hilchos Yesod HaTorah Perek Zayin, where in the halachic work he repeats these four distinctions. So the Rambam in Halacha Dalet says, Kol HaNeviim Ein Misnabin B'chol Eish Sheyirtzu. All other Neviim, they do not prophesize whenever they want. Ela Mechavnim Daitam V'yoshvim Smechim V'tov Levim Esbodim. They would direct their minds, and they would sit in a state of happiness and of meditation. And the Rambam explains why they would enter this state of meditation. We're going to skip that. Elu shehem mevakshim lehisnave. These people who were seeking to prophesize, hem hanikraim b'nei hanaviim. They are called the b'nei hanaviim. Va'af al pi shemechavnim daitam. Efshar shetishra shchina lehem ve'efshar shelo tishra. And these people, even though they're seeking nevuah and they're mechavnim daitam, they direct their minds, it's possible they'll receive nevuah, and it's possible that they won't. So the first point, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu was the was always all other Nevi'im. The Rambam doesn't specifically contrast that point with Moshe Rabbeinu, but the later in the halachos there he does. We'll get back to that. But the Rambam says all other Nevi'im, they needed, you know, when they wanted to get a nevuah, they would sit and they would prepare and they would direct their minds and they had to meditate and basically get themselves into a mental state in which they were prepared for nevuah. And that's, you know, all other Nevi'im, that they were still, you know, in the Milchemes HaYetzer, they still had things about them that they were struggling with. They still had, just to put it very plainly, they still had free will. So they had to, you know, at the point at which they want to receive Nevuah, they had to reach a certain point that they weren't naturally at, as opposed to Moshe Rabbeinu explicitly, but we saw it's really the idea the Rambam kind of builds up, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, he was kind of above all of that. Moshe Rabbeinu had, so to speak, outgrown free will. And Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to get ready for Nevuah. He was always ready in Nevuah. That's what he was holding at the place where there was no struggle between his physical and his spiritual side, and therefore there was no necessary setup for him to get Nevuah. So that's point number one. And that really, that should be self-evident from everything that we've discussed about Moshe Rabbeinu, that if the you needing to reach a certain state of readiness is the prereq for Nevuah, so Moshe Rabbeinu, he was always ready. Moshe Rabbeinu, that was where he was holding in all of life. He was told, you know, to separate from his wife, and he was told, you know, he's in a state of being where he is perpetually on the level of receiving nevuah. But there's a further point, which goes a step further, which is that on top of the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu was ready, the Rambam says that a Navi can be ready to receive Nevuah and still not receive Nevuah. And the Rambam kind of hinted to this point in what we saw at the beginning in the introduction to Chelek in the Yud Gimel Ikrim. The Rambam says that all other Nevi'im, they wouldn't necessarily receive Nevuah when they wanted. They received Nevuah when Hashem wanted. But Moshe Rabbeinu, his was Imdu ve'eshma'u, that when I am ready to receive Nevuah, I'll get Nevuah. Meaning, even if you're ready for Nevuah, who says you'll get Nevuah? But Moshe Rabbeinu, on top of that, which he was always ready for Nevuah, it was up to him, it was his choice to receive Nevuah. The Ramchal makes this point very clearly in Derech Hashem. The Ramchal says in the fifth chapter of Chelek Gimel of Derech Hashem, the Ramchal says, V'od Hevdel Haya bein Shar Nevim LaMoshe. There was another difference between all other prophets and Moshe. Sheshar HaNevim Lo Hayu BeYadam LeHinavik B'chol Shah. It wasn't up to them. It wasn't in their hands to prophesize whenever they wanted. Ela B'Sha'a Shahaya HaBore Yisbarach Shmo Rotze. At the time when Hashem wanted, Haya Mashra Shifo Aleyem U'Miznabim. He would bestow his the spiritual flow upon them, and then they would get Nevuah when Hashem decided to. Ach Moshe Rabbeinu Alav HaShalom Haya Hadavar Taloi Birtzono. The matter was dependent on his Ratzon, on his will. V'haya Masor B'yado L'Hiskasher Bo Yisbarach L'Hamshech Elav Hagiloi Kefi HaTzorech. And it was given over into his authority, into his jurisdiction, into his power to connect to Hashem and to draw forth the prophetic revelation whenever necessary, whenever he felt the need. Moshe Rabbeinu, at his will, was able to receive Nevuah. So there's a very fundamental distinction between all other Nevi'im. All other Nevi'im, the Nevuah is up to the Navi. I mean, it's up to Hashem. But by Moshe Rabbeinu, receiving Nevuah was up to him. He could receive Nevuah when he wanted to.
There is like implying that he's like almost more important than Hashem. Not more important, but like Hashem just can't say to him, "Nope, sorry, Moshe, I'm busy." You know?
Well, I mean, hypothetically, Hashem could do whatever he wants. But
it makes it sound like Moshe, every time he wants to speak to Hashem, he speaks to Hashem.
Right.
It's like, it's as if Hashem doesn't have any say in this matter.
Well, Hashem gave him that status. Right, but so the Madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu was such that he could receive Nevuah whenever at his will, and as opposed to all other Nevi'im. Now the Rambam himself, if you look a little bit, this is what I mentioned before. If you look, turn the next page a little bit further in that same, really makes Rambam says Kol haNevi'im ein misnavim bechol eis sheyirtzu. All other Nevi'im could not prophesize when they wanted to. Moshe Rabbeinu Enokin. Moshe Rabbeinu was not that way. Ela kolz man sheyachpots, whenever he wanted, Ruach HaKodesh lovashto unavua shore alav. Ruach HaKodesh would adorn him, and he would receive nevuah. The Eino tzarech lechavin daito lehizdamin lo, and he did not need to direct his mind and prepare for it. Shari humechuven umezumin veomed kemalache hasharis, because he was already active, you know, standing and waiting. He was in a constant state of being prepared, like an angel. Lefikach misnave bechol eis. Therefore, he could prophesize at any moment. Shene'emar imdu veshma ma'itzav Hashem lachem. Ubazeh hifticho hakel. And this is what Hashem promised him. Shene'emar leich emor lahem. After Har Sinai, Hashem says to Moshe, go tell them, the rest of the Jewish people, shuvu lachem la'ohalehem, ohalehem, go back to your tents. Ve'ata po amod imadi. And you stay here with me. Ha'lamadita. From here you learn, shekol ha-nevim, kishanevua mistalekas mehem, chozim la'olam. That all other Nevi'im, right, the rest of the Jewish people, also reached a level of prophecy at that point. But when the prophecy was over, they go back to their tent, go back home. Shehu tzarchei haguf, kulam kisharam. You're going back to your physical needs, just like the rest of it, just like everyone else. Lefikach ein portion min nishoseihem. Therefore, they do not separate from their wives. Moshe Rabbeinu lo chazar la'ol arishon. Moshe Rabbeinu did not go back to his tent. Lefikach pirish min ha'isha la'olam. Therefore, he separated from his wife permanently because he was in a constant state of being prepared for Nevuah. And the glory of this connection never separated from him. And he had a light that shone from his face, and he was sanctified like an angel. Right? So I'm not going to get back into this idea of like an angel. We discussed that the Rambam towards the beginning of the seventh principle discussed this point that Moshe Rabbeinu reached the level of an angel. But the Rambam again emphasizes that here, that the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah, or his personal connection to Hashem, was similar to that of an angel. He had no separation. There was nothing separating between him and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But the Rambam here makes very clear that on top of that, which Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly ready to receive Nevuah because he had reached a level where, you know, the physical was no longer a barrier, was no longer a struggle for him. There was nothing for him to overcome. But on top of that, the Rambam says quite clearly that Moshe Rabbeinu, in contrast to all of the other Nevi'im, had a Nevuah kol zman sheyachpots. Whenever he desired, whenever he wanted, he would be able to achieve Nevuah. So the rest of this morning, except for maybe the last few minutes, we're going to get into one closing point here, but the next little bit, going to try and understand what the significance of this is, why it was, what it was about Moshe Rabbeinu, what the significance of that fact that he could receive Nevuah when he wanted, as opposed to other Nevi'im, why that was, and how that connects to everything else that we've been saying about Moshe Rabbeinu. So, We're going to take, so it might be a little bit unfair to do, but this is what we're going to have to do. We're going to take a quick run through the entire Sha'ar Gimel of Nefesh HaChaim, the entire third section of Nefesh HaChaim, and we're going to do that with, I excerpted six short segments of Sha'ar Gimel of Nefesh HaChaim to just try and just get here, because it's going to be going through a lot very quickly, and you know the Nefesh HaChaim wrote it as an entire 14 chapter section for a reason, and to every idea in here really is developed and explained and sourced and given really its context, and we're kind of just jumping through it. So I apologize that it might be a little bit going through things running through it. I don't want to call it superficially, but let's call it not lefi kol atzarech, not as well developed as necessary, but just to give it the focus, or try to give an explanation, what I think would come out from this Nefesh HaChaim, why it is that we cover our eyes when we say the pasuk of Shema Yisrael. Now, just as a disclaimer, sorts. The Shulchan Aruch actually gives a reason, a very kind of simple, straightforward reason of why we cover our eyes when we say Shema Yisrael. He says that it is in order to concentrate. You need to concentrate when you say the first pasuk of Shema, and therefore you have to cover your eyes so that you don't get distracted. Now, we're going to give a little bit of a deeper explanation, and I'm just going to suggest that our deeper explanation could be also the deeper explanation of what the Shulchan Aruch himself says. We'll perhaps get back to that. But so let's see the Nefesh HaChaim. Nefesh HaChaim says, starting in chapter 2, Aval Adon Kol Yisbarach Shemo, Hu Male Es Kol Ha'olamos Va'anivroim, Ve'en Amchotzitzim Chalila Negdo Yisbarach Klal Be'emes, says that the Adon Kol, the master of all, he fills all of the world and all of creations. And they, in truth, in actuality, do not form any interruption, any blockage between in his existence. Meaning that the fact that there is a creation that exists doesn't mean that somehow means that Hashem is now absent from that spot. Hashem removed from that spot so that creation could exist there. Ve'ein od milvado yisbarach mamish shum davar beklal bekol ha'olamos. And there is nothing that exists other than Hashem in all of the world. Meha elyon shebe elyonim an hatahom hatachton shebe tahomos aret. From the highest level of the spiritual world to the lowest level of the physical world, to the lowest depths of the earth, ad shetuch alomar, to the point where we could say she'ein kan shum nivra v'olam klal. There really is nothing that exists. There is really no creation, and there is no world at all. Rak hakol male atmos achdus o apashet yisbarach shemo. Everything is really, in its essence, just the existence of Hashem. And there really is nothing else other than Hashem. Says in the next chapter. Just to fill in some context, he says that that the Hashem, the way the Nefesh HaChaim explains what Tzimtzum is. Tzimtzum is a famous idea in Kabbalah. Somehow the relationship between, God is everything and God is infinite, and yet there's a finite world. That relationship is explained through something called Tzimtzum. And there are, among different schools of thought, different nuances of explaining what Tzimtzum is. The Nefesh HaChaim explains, he shows based on different psukim, that the word Tzimtzum does not mean, as some understand it, constrict. If I constrict in on myself, I withdraw myself from all of the space that I should fill, and I constrict myself in on myself to make room for something else. That's how some explain what Tzimtzum is, and that's what Hashem did. He constricted himself. He kind of, in a certain sense, removed himself from that area, and then that's where he created the world, and that area that he, so to speak, Nefesh HaChaim means hidden. Hashem totally exists everywhere in everything, the same before, whenever using the terms before and after here, but before he created the world as after, the same thing, But Hashem hid the truth of that, the clarity of his absoluteness and his absolute existence in such a way that the existence that he created is able to imagine itself as having its own existence. Says the Nefesh HaChaim, really, creation doesn't have its own existence. Really, everything is just Hashem. And to put it very crudely, that, you know, we're just Hashem's imagination, so that we don't really exist. That everything really is Hashem, and Hashem hid that truth in order to give room for us to perceive our own existence. So says the Nefesh HaChaim, that being the case. Kama zehiros yaseir tzarech adam lizar bazeh. A person has to be very careful with this information. V'lishmor es nafsho ma'od b'mishmeres l'mishmeres. Sorry about that. And to guard himself with many layers of protection. She'im chas v'shalom yikachenu libeinu likvoa lanu machshava zu. Because if we take it in ourselves to really establish this understanding in ourselves and to act based upon it, ulahatir latzmenu lehisnaheg gam b'maisa l'fia machshava zu, and to act in accordance with this awareness, with this knowledge, halo yuchal lehivalad mizeh chas v'shalom harisas kama yisodos atorah kedosha rechonos tlon, that it could bear out the destruction, the undermining of many fundamental pillars of the Torah. Ubenakel yuchali hilakin chas v'shalom bereshes hayetzer, could easily be captured into the net, into the snare of the yetzer, and show you many different heterim, different permissions, permissibilities based on this understanding. Derech mashal, for example, lahar her b'divrei Torah b'shat nefesh af mekomos hametunafim, to, without any concern, to think about Torah in, you know, dirty places where you're not, in the bathroom, where you're not supposed to think about Torah, you'll think about Torah there. Why? Achar sheyukvat lo techila shakol alokus gamor. Because you'll say, what difference does it make? Everything's just God anyways. God's the same here as he is there. There's no places which is more or less godly. Everything's really just, you know, one simple flat line of absolute Hashem's presence. So why should any place be different than any other place? And the Nefesh HaChaim really in the Prakim, he has between Shar Gimel and Shar Dalet, he has a section the Prakim where he discusses this idea more. He says the whole idea that certain sects of Judaism somewhat disregarded the concept of Zmanim, Zman Tvila, that they don't take so much concern to make sure that they daven on time, was because of this. Because they said, well, you know what? What is one time different than any other time? It's all, you know, God's the same everywhere and all times and all places. So daven Shacharis at 2 in the afternoon, what difference does it make? Is God's just as much there for Shacharis, for me to daven Shacharis to him at 2 in the afternoon as he is at, you know, 8:30 in the morning? So what difference does it make? Says the Nefesh HaChaim, that's an outgrowth of a correct, accurate piece of information being misapplied. That's what it says, V'od kama te'uyos. And many more mistakes that could come out if we would establish this awareness in the realm of our actions. So in the Nefesh HaChaim says that this machshava is something that you need to know. It's something that you need to be intellectually aware of, but it is not something that you act upon. Hashem, in giving us a Torah, really giving us mitzvos and telling us to do certain things at certain times and certain places and do this action and not that action, is telling you, live like that. Live as if this is holy and this is not holy, as if this is permitted and this is forbidden. Hashem gave us the instructions, and Nefesh HaChaim really in Shaar Aleph says, and he gave in a certain level of inherent spiritual value by creating this system. It might be an artificial system, but Hashem, in giving the system, created a value for that of living according to the world the way that God has presented it to us. And therefore, when we act, when we live, we are supposed to live as if we are separate from Hashem. When we act, we are supposed to act, we are supposed to live our lives with the appreciation that God made us, whatever it means, a separate entity from him. However, we have to know in the back of our minds, in appreciating the totality and the absoluteness of God's existence, we have an intellectual awareness that really God is the absolute existence. And the Nefesh HaChaim says, really the idea of the Pasuk says about the Malachim, that the Malachim are Ratzov Vashov, that the Malachim, that they go up to a certain height and then they go back down. As if they stay up, they'll get burned. What it means is that the Malachim also, the Malachim are a creation as well. They go up to a certain point. If they would live at, if they would stay at that point, they would stay at the certain height of closeness to Hashem at which the mirage of their existence becomes that much more clear, they would pop out of existence. Because then you come to that realization that everything really is just godliness. So that's your own existence becomes something which is untenable at that point, and therefore you have to go back down. And that's the way we're meant to live. We're meant to live with the intellectual awareness of God's absoluteness, but you don't get too close to that. You get too close to that, and it can and it leads to a nullification of your own existence. And God wants us to live. He gave us a Torah, which is entirely predicated on living with the understanding or the awareness of our own existence. And skipping quite a bit to chapter 11. now the Nefesh HaChaim, or really this is a Haggah in the Nefesh HaChaim written by his son, explains a Medrash. The Medrash says that there was once it gives a mashal for why we say Baruch Shem quietly, right? We say Shema Yisrael out loud and then we say Baruch Shem quietly. So the Medrash says, what should we do? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, but Yaakov Avinu did say it. So to say it, how could we say it? Moshe didn't say it. But to not say it, how can we not say it? Because Yaakov Avinu said it. So what do? We have this kind of compromise and we say it quietly. So the Gemara gives an analogy that it says, it's like you have a princess, and the princess smells this some kind of, you know, it's a sike kadeira, some kind of seemingly, you know, not so sophisticated dish being cooked. And the princess gets very hungry for it. But it would be beneath her dignity to go and eat it. But she wants it. So what is she? So what happens? So she has her servants bring it to her quiet in secret. All right, that's what the Medrash says. That's really what's happening when we say Baruch Shem Kavod. So the Nefesh HaChaim explains that what's really going on there. Yesh Lomar Penimius Kavanasam. What are they trying? What are Chazal trying to convey with this? Hainu She'achar She'yichad Nuhu BePasuk Shema Shehu Rak Echad. After we have been Meyached Hashem, we have unified Him, meaning we have recognized His oneness, and His oneness means not just that He's one and not two, but He is one, and there is. After we have acknowledged His oneness, Achdus Pashut. That He is entirely one and there is nothing else other than Him. Ve'ein od milvado klal, nothing else exists. Ve'kol ha'olamos heim ke'ilu einam v'metzius klal. And everything else that exists is as if it doesn't exist. Ve'eich nachshaveihu achar zeh shehu mevorach b'kvod malchuso al olamos. How could we praise Him after that? How could we follow that up with the praise of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso, that His Malchus, that His kingship over the worlds, we're going to praise Him with that, Shagam Ha'olamos Yeshnam B'Metzius, in which we're acknowledging the existence of the worlds and saying Hashem is in charge of them. That's a nothing compared to what we just said. What we say a moment before, we say Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad, Hashem is one, meaning Hashem is everything and there is nothing else. And that's the highest level of praising Hashem, because you're recognizing the truth of His absoluteness. After that, you're going to say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. We're going to say Hashem, you're the king over everything that exists. Now all of a sudden you're saying there's an existence and Hashem's king over it. You just went down a level. So how are you going to do that? So the Einu Nechshav L'Shevach Neged Otzim Yichud Pasuk Shema. In contrast to the intensity of Hashem's oneness, which is expressed in the Pasuk Shema Yisrael, that's nothing. That's not a shevach. That's not a praise in contrast to what you just said in Shema Yisrael. So he says, but that's what Hashem wanted. Hashem gave us the Torah, gave us mitzvos, and he said he wants us to be, he wants to have a malchus. And therefore, we say it quietly, that it's not a real praise for a Kadosh Baruch Hu in contrast to Shema Yisrael. Baruch Shem doesn't measure up to Shema Yisrael, and therefore we don't say Baruch Shem out loud. But at the end of the day, Hashem created a world. He wants us to live in this world, and so that's what he wanted. So in as much as according to his the absolute praise, but in as much as that's what he wanted, so we'll praise him that way. And therefore we say Baruch Shem, but we say it quietly. The Nevesh Chaim explained. So we're going to try, we'll get back to, in a moment, how that those two levels, as I mentioned a moment before, start from Moshe Rabbeinu and Yaakov Avinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who did not say Baruch Shem, and Yaakov Avinu is the one who did. And because Yaakov Avinu said it, therefore we say it quietly. Because Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, therefore we're not going to say it out loud. That's being represented by this idea of Shema versus Baruch Shem. Shema is the absoluteness of Hashem's oneness, and Baruch Shem is saying that, you know, within the existence of this world, within that context, that Hashem is in charge. Skipping to chapter, we'll get back to put that together in a moment. Chapter 13 says in Nevi Chaim, "Vezesh Amar Mishmos Rabba Parshat Aleph." Yitzchak Amar LaMoshe. Yitzchak said to Moshe Rabbeinu, "Ani gadol mimcha. I am greater than you. Shepashatati tzavarai v'chule v'ra'isi es p'nei Hashchina." He says, "I stuck out my neck to be shechted by the Akedah, and I saw the p'nei Hashchina. I saw Hashem's face." Amar LaMoshe. Moshe Rabbeinu responds to Yitzchak, "Ani nis'aleisi yoser mimcha. I reached a higher level than you." Because you saw the Pnei Hashchina, you saw the presence of the divine, the Kawe Necha, and your eyes were dim. You couldn't handle the sight. But I spoke to Hashem, so to speak, face to face, and my eyes did not dim. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, the level on which he interacted with Hashem and saw Hashem was panim al panim, without dimming his eyes. Right? That's key words there, without dimming his eyes. Nevesh Chaim, I'm really going backwards now. This is earlier in chapter 13, but I did this for a reason. The next two pieces really go together. The Nevesh Chaim explains the contrast between the difference between the Avos and Moshe Rabbeinu. Says the level of the Avos was Kemosha Kasamti Lael Beinyan Kedushas Madregasam Shelo Hishkichu Al Shum Koach Beinyan Beolam Klal. That they did not take into consideration any Koach or any Inyan, any idea, any power, any authority in the world at all. They recognized Hashem is completely in charge of the world, and they don't have to worry about anything. Complete bitachon, complete trust in Hashem, because He is in absolute control of the world. Omnam, however, hasagas nivuasam lo haisa bebitul akoch mimitziusam lagamre. Their nivua did not reach a level where they said there is no world. They said there is a world, and God is in absolute control of it. And they recognize that, you know, Hashem could change anything in the world. He's in total control to do whatever He wants in the world, and, you know, the elements and the nations and everything that exists has absolutely no power to do anything against them, because Hashem is in complete control. But they still recognize those things exist. It's just that Hashem is in complete control of them. And that was why the communication between Hashem and the Avos was with names of Hashem, such as Shakai and Elokim. Elokim means Baal HaKochos Kulam. Elokim means Hashem is the absolute power over all other powers. But it's still acknowledged. There are other powers. It's within this world. Within everything that exists, Hashem is in charge of all of them. Hashem is the absolute power and control of all of them. Aval bebechinas inyan shmi havaya, in terms of my name, Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, lo nodati lehem. That Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I did not reveal myself, I become Bahasagas Nivuasam. Aval Moshe Rabbeinu Olav Shalom Haisa Hasagas Nivuaso Be'inyin Bechinas Hashem Ha'etzem HaMiyuchar Havaya Baruchu. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nivua, his spiritual grasp, was on the level of Yudke Vavke V'lachein Lo Yashum Koach Chotzeitz Bifnei Or Hasagas Nivuaso. And therefore there was nothing that interrupted in his Nivua. There was nothing that could that was a block between his direct clear perception of Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu recognized Hashem in the true nature of his existence, meaning he grasped more than intellectually that Hashem is the only thing that exists. Not that with that you know there is a world and Hashem is in absolute control. He recognized in truth there is no world, right? And that even though the Avos certainly intellectually aware of that, but Moshe Rabbeinu had that awareness emotionally. Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived with that. That was really a part of his perception of the world. The one thing Moshe didn't have, as we discussed a couple weeks ago, was that Moshe Rabbeinu did not live that experientially. He didn't experience that in his... He was still physical. He was still living in this world. He didn't experience that. But he lived with it. Emotionally, it was true to him. We have a lot of things that intellectually are true to us. But we don't live with that awareness because we know it, but it hasn't really become ingrained into us to such a point that that's what we live with. But Moshe Rabbeinu, he lived on a level where that was part of how he lived, and that was the level of Moshe Rabbeinu's hasaga, his grasp of Hashem. Last piece, v'hu gamkein echad mehatamim. This is one of the reasons, one of the understandings of Masha Yaakov Avinu Amar Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Olam Vaed. That which Yaakov said, Baruch Shem, Moshe Rabbeinu lo amro. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say it. Kema amarim zal, as like the thing that we said in Pesachim. Ki inyan shevach Baruch Shem kvod malchus lo'olam vaed, because the praise of Baruch miskochos v'olamos implies that there is such a thing as a world. Ukemosha kasavti le'el perek yud aleph, like that piece that we looked before. Ayin sham v'lachin amro Yaakov Avinu. And therefore, Yaakov Avinu said it, shehu kavi madrigoso. That was on his level. On his level, the highest praise of Hashem was Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso. There is a Malchus. There is a world for Hashem to be king, and Hashem is absolute king over it. Amnam, however, Madregas Vahasagas Moshe Rabbeinu Kavisha Be'arnu, the grasp, the awareness of Moshe Rabbeinu was above that. Hu Gam Kein Etzem Hayichud Detevas Echad Dekriyashma. Moshe Rabbeinu understood and appreciated the absolute oneness of Echad of Shema Yisrael. Therefore, he didn't say Baruch Shem, because Moshe Rabbeinu was on a level above Baruch Shem. Moshe Rabbeinu did not say, Hashem, you're in absolute control of this world. Moshe Rabbeinu was on an even higher level than that. There is no this world. In actuality, Moshe Rabbeinu understood, there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch. This, I think, we have like 30 seconds left, and maybe we'll see if we get to the last point. But this is, I believe, the idea of what it means that Moshe Rabbeinu's nevuah was whenever he wanted. All other Nevi'im lived within the confines of time and space. Their awareness of Hashem was such that it was bound by time and space, and therefore their nevuah was bound by time and space. Nefesh HaChaim really says this more explicitly. I didn't put it in the Mar Makomos, but he explicitly speaks out. He adds on to what the Rambam said, not just time, but space. All other Nevi'im could not necessarily receive nevuah wherever they were. Moshe Rabbeinu received nevuah at any time and any place. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, there was no difference between Hashem's existence before the world was created and after the world was created. It was all the same. The before and after, there was no time. Didn't create a constraint on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, his appreciation of Hashem was on that level, and therefore the experience of his nevuah was on that level, where there is no restriction of time and space. That was the level that he emotionally lived with, the awareness that he lived with, and therefore his nevuah had no such constraints. He was a prophet beyond time. His prophecy was unconstrained because his appreciation and his recognition of a Kadosh Baruch Hu was unconstrained, was such that he realized there are no constraints on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's existence. There is no existence to create a separation between there. Time doesn't really exist. Space doesn't really exist, and therefore those things did not interrupt. They did not create a block between his capacity for Nevuah. I go a little bit over time, but I just want to finishing with this whole discussion of Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, these distinctions. So it should be abundantly clear, according to everything we've discussed in the past weeks, that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was something that came out of a level that he had achieved. There are Rishonim who say that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was like a nace. It was a nace in a certain sense, but it was a nace that happened like at Maimon Har Sinai. And after that, it wasn't really, you know, something that was fitting for anyone, including Moshe Rabbeinu, but a nace happened and he was given this superhuman level of Nevuah. And the way the Rambam explains it, that doesn't seem like the case. Moshe Rabbeinu had actually reached a level. It required Hashem to take him, you know, over the last boundary and remove his Bechira and bring him to that highest point. But he had reached, that was who he was. That was the level at which he had reached. So if I would ask you, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, when Klal Yisrael sin, throughout the 38 years in the desert, Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah, was it on the same level or did it go back down to like being a regular Nabi? The answer should be that he obviously stayed at the same level. It wasn't just a gift that he had, and you know, as soon as it's gone, it's gone. Moshe Rabbeinu is in Nevuah where when he wanted, he could have Nevuah. And not only that, but the verses that the Rambam brings to substantiate all of these points are all from subsequent to Maimon Har Sinai. These are not verses that happened at Maimon Har Sinai. The whole discussion with Miriam when they question his Nevuah, that's after Har Sinai. Imdu Vashma is after Har Sinai when they had the whole thing with the people who were Tamei Mace, who wanted to bring Korban Pesach. That was after Har Sinai. The eighth principle we're going to see is also very tied into this. It was in the confrontation with Korach, was also after Matan, was also after Har Sinai. So Moshe Rabbeinu retained this level of his Nevuah. So the Rambam says something very interesting in Mor Nevochim. And the Rambam says that the state of a person's mind really influences the reception of their Nevuah. And he says, and therefore you'll find, I'm not going to read everything that I underlined because we're really already out of time, but you'll find that Nevi'im only received Nevuah when they were in a certain state. And he says, and therefore Yaakov Avinu lo ba'asu Nevuah kol yimei avelo. Yaakov did not receive any prophecy all of the years of his Nevuah. I mean, all of the years of his avelos, all the years where he was mourning for Yosef because he thought Yosef had died. Because he was affected, he was disturbed by the loss of his son Yosef, and therefore he didn't receive Nevuah those entire 22 years. And then the Rambam says, second to last line on the page here, V'shem Moshe Rabbeinu Alav Shalom ba'aso lo ba'asehu na Nevuah kebo'o mikodim me'achar tlunas ha'meraglim ad shemesu kol dora midbar anshe milchama. Moshe Rabbeinu also did not receive Nevuah the same way that he did before, after the chait of the Meraglim, as long as those individuals, that door, that generation was still alive. Ba'avur shenila l'savlam l'rav k'lunoseyim. It was difficult to handle all of their complaining, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu did not receive Nevuah the same, Nevuah did not come to him the same way. So that should be very bothersome, because of Moshe, such that it's he reached that level of Asag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the fact that the Meraglim sin, the fact that he's dealing with Klal Yisrael, that shouldn't affect his perception of Nevuah. So what does the Rambam mean when he says that Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was not the same after the Chit HaMeraglim? So the Abarbanel here, I think, is being sensitive to this point. And the Abarbanel says, did I not copy the right page? No, I did. The Abarbanel says that... I'm just going to summarize, I'm not going to read it inside because we're already over time, but the Barbanel basically says when the Rambam says that Yaakov Avinu did not receive Nevuah, he says, lo ba'asehu Nevuah. Nevuah didn't come to him. Because when Yaakov Avinu was in the state of mind, you're receiving Nevuah through, you know, his mind, through his personality, as we've described. So then, when he was not in the right state of mind, he couldn't receive Nevuah. And therefore, Nevuah didn't come to him. But when he describes Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, it didn't come to him like it came before. And the Barbanel says, what does that mean? It was me. It's actually a practicality. Moshe Rabbeinu was so busy dealing with the Dor HaMidbar, he was so busy dealing with their complaints and handling their problems that he didn't have time to communicate with the Kadosh Baruch Hu in the frequency that he did before. There was nothing. He didn't have a lower level of prophecy, but he did not have the frequency of prophecy that he had before because he wasn't available. He was so busy dealing with the Dor HaMidbar that he couldn't communicate with Hashem whenever he wanted. But whenever he wanted to, he still communicated with the Kadosh Baruch Hu on that same level. There was nothing that imposed upon Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah to lower that level of Nevuah. That was a level that was the nature of his Hasagah, his grasp of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And that we'll see in the weeks coming up. That's necessary to say that. If Moshe Rabbeinu lowered his level of Nevuah in the next 38 years, so the Torah that he received in those 38 years, Torah had an absolutely clear perception of Ratzon Hashem, and therefore the Nevuah that he receives is Torah. If Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah had gone down, then everything that he received in the next 38 years, everything that was communicated, is through Moshe Rabbeinu. How can you call that Torah? That's no longer a Nevuah above every other Nevuah. Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah was entirely through and through on this higher level, and the fact that he had disturbances was that interrupted the frequency with which he received Nevuah, but the Madrega, the qualitative level of Nevuah, was always the same.